Thank you very much. So please head back towards your seats. We will resume. Again. Included the previous session with a brief discussion on the various Vishnus and how, in brief, the universe is created, sustained, destroyed, and how the cycle goes on. Now, we just discussed that Prakriti is one of the five subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita. And we also mentioned that Prakriti is eternal. So the question arises, if Prakriti is eternal, how is it that we are seeing here that the universe is destroyed? If something is eternal, it should not be destroyed. So let us try to understand this with a very simple example. Take the case of a potter who is using some mud to make a pot. The mud is existing. The potter, he manipulates the mud in certain ways with his skill, with his intelligence, and then he fashions it into a pot. The pot exists for a while. It is used for certain purposes, but it cannot last always. After some time, it breaks. It turns into pieces. The pieces again mix back with the mud. The potter again takes the mud, mixes in water, makes a paste out of it, again makes a new pot. The pot again breaks, again goes back into the mud. So the mud is always there. The pot is there only for a while. The pot is made from the mud. So the first important point is that the pot cannot come by itself from the mud. You need a potter. So similarly, the mud here is compared to the Prakriti. Prakriti is like the mud here. The material universe or the creation is like the pot. And God is like the potter. By the manipulation of the material energy, which is eternal, the universe is created, which lasts for some time, although it may be very long compared to our lifespan, but it is still temporary. And after that period is over, just as the mud pot is destroyed, the universe is destroyed, and the elements of which the universe is made up again goes back to the original reservoir of the Prakriti, which is called the Pradhana, in the unmanifest stage. And after some time, when Mahavishnu breathes again, again, the whole thing starts again. So this is a very beautiful or simple example to understand how Prakriti is eternal, but Prakriti is manipulated into various shapes and forms by the Supreme Lord to make it into universes which are created, sustained and destroyed. But the energy itself, Prakriti, remains the same. So here we see the Supreme Lord in his Vishnu form as a Lord of the material energy, as a Lord of the Prakriti. And Prakriti has a Devi who is in charge of it. We discussed that everything in the universe has to have spiritual energy behind it. There has to be a personality behind it. Just as behind the agriculture ministry there is the agricultural minister, in every ministry there is a minister. Behind every government there are prime ministers and presidents. In the same way, behind every Shakti, behind every planet in this universe, there is a person. That person is a Devi or a Devata, a demigod. So the demigoddess, who is in charge of the Prakriti, she is Durga. Durga Devi is Maya. She is Lord's Prakriti energy. And here you can see in this picture, in her wonderful eight-armed form, she is offering her respects to her worshipable Lord. Durga Devi sometimes carries in her arms a Trishul. Here you don't see, but when she kills Mahishasur, you know, she killed with that Trishul. So the Trishul of Durga Devi represents the threefold miseries that we discussed on the first day. Adhyatmika Klesh, Adhibhautika Klesh, Adhidaivika Klesh. So this material world is like a prison. Durga Devi is like the superintendent of the prison, and we are all prisoners. And she is performing her role just as the superintendent of the prison makes the prisoners undergo hard labor. It's not that he is a cruel man, but that is his task that he is asked to do by the government, and as a faithful servant of the government, he does that. In the same way, Durga Devi's job in this creation is to keep everybody under illusion, is to keep everybody under the clutches of these threefold miseries. But she is always under the control of Lord Krishna. So this material energy of Prakriti is Durga, but Durga is always under Krishna's control, as he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakritihi Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunanena Kaunteya Jagat Viparivartate. He says, my dear Arjuna, Maya Adhyakshena Prakritihi, this Prakriti is working under my direction. Suyate Sacharachar and Achar, all the moving, non-moving, living, non-living entities are all going on under my orders. So the laws of nature that we discussed on day 2 when we talked about God, does God exist? Those laws of nature have been made by God and are being enforced by God. It is enforced on the Lord's behalf by his demigod representatives. But the ultimate authority of the power is God. So in this way here, we see that God is eternally existing. The Prakriti energy is existing, although the personality who may control it on behalf of God will change. But the forms that Prakriti takes in terms of the universe, etc., will go on changing. In this way we can understand that Prakriti is eternal, but the material universes which are made up of the Prakriti, they are not eternal. They undergo various cycles of creation, sustenance and destruction. We can understand how all of us within this universe attract by looking at some small insect, imagine, that gets caught in a spider's web. The spider creates a wonderful web. An innocent or unknowing insect flies through, gets stuck. In its desire to get free, in its panic when it is caught, it struggles very hard. But the more it struggles, the harder it becomes for it to become free. It gets bound even more and more tighter, because it does not know how to get free. So similarly in this way, all of us are struggling in this world. Prakriti sthani karshati. Everyone is forced to struggle, because we are all bound here in this material world. We shouldn't think that struggle is meant only for the laborers. Even the ministers are struggling, kings are struggling, the ants are struggling, the birds, beasts, everyone is struggling in this world. Because we are all bound. We are bound by the stringent laws of nature. We are bound by our own illicit desires, our wealth, our desire for fame, prestige, enjoyment, money. The laws of nature are very strict. And so we remain bound like this, life after life, life after life. Victims of our own bad desires and activities. So therefore, man is meant to get free from the shackles of this nature. But first, if he is to get free, he should understand the nature of what is binding him. What is the nature of his bondage? Once he understands that, then it will be easy for him to break open the shackles. In order to understand the nature of the bondage, let us consider a few things. See here a flower of red color. Another beautiful flower of yellow color. Another beautiful flower of, let us say, some bluish color. Now these three colors are called the primary colors in nature. Red, yellow, blue. By the combination and permutation of these three colors, all the possible colors in nature are created. The rainbow, for example, we can see all the colors. Nature gives us a demonstration or exhibition of all possible ranges of colors. But how do they come? Simply by a combination of red, yellow, blue in different degrees. So everything, just as everything in this world, all the colors that we see are because of the combination of these three colors. Similarly, the whole prakriti is defined by three colors, so to speak, or three qualities. And these are called gunas. And these gunas are called sattva guna, rajo guna, and tamo guna. Sattva guna represents the mode of goodness. We'll discuss it shortly in brief. Rajo guna represents the mode of passion. And tamo guna means the mode of ignorance. Everything in this creation is governed by these three modes. Everything in the creation is characterized by these three modes. Just as everything in the creation has some color or the other, which is a combination of these three, some permutation or a combination of these three. So let us see some examples. Animals. The cow, the animals in general are considered basically in the mode of ignorance. The human beings are considered in the mode of passion, and the demigods in the mode of goodness. But relatively amongst the animals also, there is a gradation. The cows amongst the animals are considered more in the mode of goodness, whereas at the other extreme, the monkey, the donkey, the camel, they are considered in the mode of ignorance, tamoguna. The lion, tiger are considered in the mode of passion, in between the two. Whereas the human being who chants the holy names of the Lord, who becomes a devotee of the Lord, he goes beyond the sattva, rajas and tamas. Because these three are material things. But one who is a devotee of the Lord becomes situated on the spiritual platform. Because he renders devotional service to the Lord. Because of his bhakti, he is situated on a spiritual platform. So he is not on sattva guna, raja guna or tamo guna, but he is on a spiritual platform. Let's take the early morning time. That is in sattva guna. That is why this is the best time of the day for spiritual practices. Because sattva guna, it nourishes a cultivation of knowledge, of spiritual development. The daytime is a time of enjoyment, activity, hectic moving here and there. It's in the mode of passion, rajaguna. And night time is a mode of ignorance, the mode of darkness. Similarly, we can consider that devotees who do devotional service are not worried whether they are doing it early morning, afternoon, evening, night, any time. Because the activity they are doing is situated on the spiritual platform, so it doesn't matter. So we can do Krishna consciousness at any time. But of course, in order to help our spiritual life develop, it is better that we rise early in the morning and practice spiritual things. We will discuss more about that day after tomorrow. The forest, the countryside, is in the mode of goodness, sattva guna, because it makes one immediately peaceful. Have you experienced this? When you go to the forest or countryside and see the beauty of nature, immediately you feel calm and peaceful. What happens when you come back to Belgaum? The train has its own sounds, the cars, the people shouting, the hustle, bustle, the pollution, the crowds. And mosquitoes, of course, there are also there in the forest. So, when you come to the city, immediately, oh, it's a different atmosphere. Mode of passion. Here everybody is busy, running, running, running. What for are you running, my dear friend? We don't know. But they're all running. Busy traveling. Going from here to there, trying to enjoy it.